I still get shirty when I when I have to sit in traffic for the 2 minutes over the bridge. I think because I grew up here, yeah, you know.
Maybe. Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining us on another episode of Convos, the official podcast of the Lifestyle Barrington Coast magazine. Now, I don't think it would come as a surprise to anybody to learn that aged care is one of the biggest economic drivers in our region. So it's pretty cool today that we're joined by Nova and Anthony from Evermore, which is one of the biggest and probably most well-known providers of aged care services in the area. Anthony, Nova, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having us.
So for people who don't know you or haven't met you, I'd like to first find out a little bit about kind of who you are and what your individual roles are at Evermore. Anthony, you're the village manager. Nova, you're the care manager.
Yep.
Anthony, let's start with you. Give us a bit of an intro to you and your role and kind of what does that mean? What's the village manager do?
Well, as the village manager, my role is really liaising with all of the residents within the village, and it's quite a broad role. It can cover so many areas within the building in regards to whether it's through the catering side, whether it's the facility maintenance side of the building, and just that person that they can go to when they need to ask a question, if they need to run an event, anything like that. So I'm that person that helps coordinate all of the residents to be able to resolve any issues.
Okay, sounds like a big gig.
Yeah.
So for anybody who's not aware, you guys have a couple of different locations now. The beautiful big new Solaris building, which we're located partly there at the moment in the podcast studio. And you've got another one as well. Just tell us where that is for anybody who doesn't know.
The Evermore in 18 to 30 Bruce Street. So it's been there for coming up to 11 years now. And it's a large complex. There's 148 units within Evermore and 12 high care beds as well.
And you're in that kind of health precinct, aren't you?
Yes, we are, yeah. So we're right behind Cape Hawke Private Hospital there, which is quite handy with all of the medical facilities located quite nearby, so it comes in very handy.
Absolutely, yeah, perfect. And Nova, tell us a little bit about your role as the care manager. That sounds like a fairly critical role.
Yeah, absolutely. So I basically manage all things care within the Evermore building, and eventually we'll do the same for the new Solaris build. So basically our goal is to keep our residents independent in their home as long as possible. So that's the care model. So if anybody is in need of any care or needs assistance in their everyday life and they're on a support at home package, then they come to us and we can assist them with anything from personal cares to domestic assistance, social supports, all those sorts of things to keep them independent in their home as long as possible.
There's so many things that people, I guess, in these communities and in these villages need that when we're living at home independently, we just take for granted, aren't they? You know, we just kind of do them for ourselves. And so I guess it's so important for you guys to be there to make sure that people have got access to that because this is their home now.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Yep. So, Nova, have you always been a foster resident?
So I was born in foster. So
true local.
Yes, true local. So I was born in Foster Private Hospital, so right next door to Evermore. Quite a few years ago, obviously. So grew up in foster, went to the local high school, primary school, was school captain of the primary school, and then moved to Sydney to do a degree and met Anthony there.
And so when did you come back?
So we came back around over 20 years ago now. Would it be? Yeah, 20
years.
Yeah,
it's well over 20 years.
Yeah, well over 20 years, yeah.
Okay, so have Anthony, maybe you want to take this one. Have you gotten to that point where you kind of feel like, yeah, like I'm a local now?
Well, originally when I moved here, that was sort of put to you that, oh, yeah, I think after 5 years you'd almost be classified as a local, and then you hit that 5 years and then they point out that, no, it's 10 and then it's 15 and then it's 20 and then I sort of went, well, I've got to make up my own rules now. And I look at it as, if I've lived in Foster longer than I've lived anywhere else, then that's my
then
home.
You can call yourself a local.
Which I'm getting close to it, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
And so when family or friends come and visit you here, what are the things that you really want to show them? You know, what's one thing that you think when people come and visit, I've got to take them and see this?
Yeah. Look, for me and my family, because I grew up in Sydney and we always lived out at, like, Western Sydney area, we always had a house on the Central Coast. So any time we would go on holidays, we'd always go to the Central Coast, which was always the beaches and the golf courses and those sorts of things. And that was something that, with my three older brothers and my sister and mum and dad, always loved that sort of environment. And coming to Foster was that, but even better, because it's just a far more beautiful area than the Central Coast. Not that the Central Coast isn't good, but Foster's just amazing.
Yeah.
And growing up as kids, that was always the environment where you went. That's when you're in heaven. You've found the perfect location. Everything we love to do is there.
Yeah.
So when they come up here, they're always about the beaches and the lake, and it's all about the water and the sand and surfing. And so we're always into that sort of thing. So coming up here is, they love it.
Yeah. And we're so fortunate, aren't we? You know, we're spoiled with so many different options. And we've got the inland areas too. You know, we've got bushwalking, we've got national parks, but it is really all about our beaches and waterways. Nova, have you got a favourite beach? Because we all tend to sort of gravitate towards that one place that seems to be our favourite.
Probably for the aesthetics of it, I guess, would be Burgess Beach. We were planning to get married on Burgess Beach, but it rained that day. We did get all our photos on Burgess. So that would visually would be our favourite. Main Beach is probably my absolute favourite beach. So I grew up on Main Beach, was involved in the Surf Life Saving Club, went right through from Nippers to Senior Club, raced in, you know, all the aspects of it, and now I am the Junior Activities Coordinator of Foster Surf Life Saving Club as well. So, it's ingrained in me. Foster Main Beach, spent all my time down there. So, yeah.
Yeah, and it is beautiful, isn't it? And it's such a really nice family-friendly kind of beach as well.
Yeah, with the Bull Ring, which, again, that's where I used to do my swimming training before the Aquatic Centre was built. The Bull Ring is the best place.
And I think it's kind of iconic as well, isn't it, Main Beach? And when people come and visit Foster and stay in town, they just tend to gravitate towards there. It's so central. We've got that great little shopping strip.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So aged care, what was it that kind of drew you, Anthony? Let's start with you. What drew you to aged care? Or did you kind of fall into it? Like, how did you end up with
it? Was definitely a fall into it type situation where since the age of 15, I've been in the cooking industry and been a chef. I've worked through Sydney and overseas through different hotels, did most of my apprenticeship and most of my cooking career in the hotel industry through Marriott and Ramada Hotels, Banff Springs Hotels in Canada. So then when we moved to Foster, I'd worked in a few different restaurants around the area. We've did on-site management and we've had a few different jobs here and there. And then I also got a job with Fire and Rescue New South Wales, which I still do. But what happened was I sort of got pointed towards Evermore through a friend for the kitchen job. So we had an interview with Coyne and I got the role in running the kitchen and the restaurant within Evermore. And then after 12, 18 months in that role, Coyne sort of said, oh, look, I can see more in you than in the kitchen. And I feel like...
That was nice.
And he said, are you interested in the village manager position? And at the time I thought, that'd be something different, and I was willing to give it a go. And then they sort of got the facilities manager position as well thrown in, which kept me busy, but it sort of made it very interesting right from the start and kept me busy. And I've learnt a huge amount in the last couple of years, been thrown in the deep end, and I think that's the best way to learn sometimes.
100%.
Yeah, and look, it's you have the support of the staff around you and also the residents, and there's when you have these residents who you see every single day that sort of become family, and they see how much you put into it, and they give it back as well, and they help me out in my role, and there's a lot of things that run around that operate through Evermore that's run by the residents, and the support they give back to me because of what I give for them is unreal, and it just makes it so much easier for everything that we do within the village. And at the same time, Evermore is a community for them, but it's also a community for us as well because we work together so well.
Yeah.
So it makes it a lot easier.
It sounds like you've fallen into the right role.
Yeah, absolutely.
So one very important question out of all that, who does the cooking at home?
Our daughter.
Oh, yeah, you guys have nailed that.
You didn't see that one coming, did you?
No, I did not see that one coming. Well played.
Yeah.
Okay, so Nova, you're involved with Surf Life Saving.
Yes.
And Anthony, you're involved with Fire and Rescue.
Yep.
So clearly two very community-minded individuals, which is a pattern that we definitely see across people in the Mid-Coast.
Yep.
But do you think that, I guess, a feature of people who work within the care industry, do you think it's just a mindset?
To a degree, I do see that, and it's and what happens is you'll see with a lot of people within the care industry, the ones that sort of go a long way and stick with it, that they create relationships with the people around them that they're working with, and even after hours, they're still putting back into those people. They think about them a lot, and when they come in the next time, they might have brought something in for them because they create that relationship. And that's sort of how the whole aged care industry works, in that it's more than just a job.
Absolutely more than just a job. Yeah.
So, Nova, tell us a little bit about how you either ended up in your role or what attracted you to this industry.
So a very similar story to Anthony, in that so he got the job as managing the kitchen, and it's a little bit of a funny story actually. So they had hired a human resources manager who unfortunately only lasted one day.
Oh wow.
So basically Anthony came home and said, oh look, there's this job that you know, has someone came in and to do the role, but basically it didn't work out. It wasn't what the person thought, and it hasn't worked out. And I said, oh, well, what was it? Like, what was she coming in to do? So, oh, look, it's human resources. And I said, oh, do you know what? It's so funny, because I'm pretty sure I looked at that role and looked at that job description and went, oh, I probably could do that. I have no experience, mind you. Yeah. So basically where I had been working before was with Beaches International. So I've always been more in the hospitality sort of area. So, but I had been managing beaches with the owners for 15 years. So we'd worked together and we on-site managed that for about 5 years. So it's similar in that there were obviously human resources roles that I did and payroll and things like that. So it's not that I didn't have any experience, but it wasn't specifically human resources. So basically Anthony rang me and said, Queen wants to meet you, come on in. So I went in and literally he's like, the job's yours if you want it. I think with the, you know, experience, but also in that once I start something, I finish it, you know, like, and I'm, and 15 years in my last role, he was like, okay, you've got stamina.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, so that's how I ended up with the role, and it's progressed. Obviously I've did the human resources payroll for 3 years, mm-hmm. and about 12 months ago morphed into general manager of the care business. And then from there I was doing all the roles I was still doing and general managing the care business. And then sort of once I went, okay, this is getting a little bit big just for one person, mm. I've now hired another human resources payroll manager.
Yeah, fabulous.
So, which is fantastic. So at least I can now focus more on the care and building that business, yeah.
Hmm. And creating more local jobs as well.
Absolutely, yeah, yes. We're just getting bigger and bigger. I mean, I think when I started there was about 15 care staff and now I'm at about nearly 40.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Big
yeah.
job.
It is. It's yeah. fantastic though. It's really rewarding. And as we say, our residents absolutely love what we do. Love that we're there for them, supporting them, and as we say, keeping them independent for as long as possible.
Yeah, yeah. So many similarities in your stories.
Yes.
So you've both got big roles.
Yes.
You've both got quite important roles there. What is a day off for you?
Well, that's a good one, because a day off for us tomorrow morning starts with probably getting up about 4:30 and then heading into work. And because we've invited all the residents down for the Australia versus USA match in the World Cup soccer, and we'll get the barbecue fired up with some egg and bacon rolls and tea and coffee. And then once that's over, we'll then take our son to soccer.
Yeah.
then our daughter at about 11:30 will go to Evermore and
so
work in the restaurant.
Right, okay. Oh, hence she's the cook at home.
Yes.
Yep. So working, I guess working and living here on the coast, has it kind of changed your perception at all about, you know, what a successful working career looks like? Anthony, you mentioned that you've worked in some pretty big corporate organisations. Evermore, obviously a reasonable size and growing business, but a bit different from a big corporate. I guess, how's it changed your perspective and your priorities?
Look, back in the day when I worked in the hotels and those sorts of environments, and it was in Sydney or over in Canada, it was... it was when you're not at work that made the difference, that you're having, you know, when you're in Sydney and we like to go to the beach, it's a big effort to get to the beach. Whereas up here we have more time on our hands when we're actually off, and up here we've had the kids.
The main reason we moved to Foster was so we weren't sitting in traffic.
Yeah.
That's the main reason, is so that we would have time when we were off to be able to spend together rather than in traffic, you know, trying to get somewhere for knowing eventually we'll have children, going to kids' sports and all those sorts of things. A lot of Anthony's family is still in Sydney and, you know, they're envious of us living up here.
So. Yeah, for sure. And so do you think having... Nova, for you, having grown up here and then moved to the city, Anthony, having sort of spent time in the cities and then coming here, you mentioned the traffic specifically.
Mm.
Do you think you'll kind of ever get to the point where you take that for granted? Because it's easy, isn't it? I know for myself, we've only been here for about 5 or 6 years now.
Yeah.
And, you know, still I go down to Sydney to see clients and I'm like, I cannot wait to get out of there and come back here.
Yep.
And even if I'm sitting, you know, we've got that you know, fabulous effort where you've got to get from Tuncurry to Foster across the bridge and it takes an extra 3 minutes in peak hour and people are getting frustrated with it and they're like, oh my goodness, the traffic on the bridge. I'm like, you have no idea. I will never, ever take this for granted. I'm fine with my extra 3 minutes going over the bridge. You know, can you still appreciate, after being here for such a long time, how good it is.
I still get shirty when I when I have to sit in traffic for the 2 minutes over the bridge. I think because I grew up here, you know.
Maybe,
absolutely. I never got used to it. I never got used to Sydney. I always wanted to be back here and having the quieter life.
Yeah, I think it's so important to appreciate what we've got, isn't it?
Yeah, I always appreciate that traffic aspect. You know, if I'm ever late for something, I always tell them I got caught in traffic. And, you know, there was that one red light that I got caught at. No, I'm pretty good around Foster in that I don't think I do take it for granted where I sit there and I've gone, oh, I just laugh about it and I think, geez, imagine if I was in Sydney. Yeah. That's like another 45 minutes.
Yeah, exactly, to get anywhere. Mm. You know, we look at the drive to Tara and think, oh, goodness, that's such a long drive. It's like in Sydney, you can't get 10 blocks in that time.
No. That's just normal. That's just going down to the local shops, you know.
And isn't it incredible what we do kind of get used to and accept as being normal? You know, the hour and a half commute to work and we just accept it. Mm. Like all of that extra time you could be spending at your favourite beach.
Absolutely.
With the kids, doing all of those great things. It's not a bad lifestyle here, really, is it?
No, it's perfect.
And you guys have managed to carve out fairly successful careers here as well. Mm-hmm. Evermore, as an employer, they seem to be very community-minded.
Yeah.
They've definitely been involved in some charity events that we've been involved with as big sponsors and supporters. What is it you think that kind of sets them apart?
Well, it's quite interesting that you sort of look at it that way. We are very community-minded, and the way the business operates is it has a very family aspect to it, the way that it's run, in that if we don't sort of look at it, it is a business and you run it as a business, but when we're dealing with the residents, and Coyne's sort of instilled this in us, and that's the way he runs it, is that you've got to look at it as though you're dealing
part
with family.
Yeah. Part of the Evermore family, we call it.
Yeah.
So we like to be involved in, all the events that happen at Evermore, and I think that creates that community feeling and that family feeling, and it sort of just promotes, that if you give back to the community, or even if it's just as small as our little Evermore community, but the broader community as well, you get that back in spades.
Yeah.
You know, if you give to your community gives back to you.
Yeah, you've got to give to get.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. There's an influencer in our industry, in my industry, the marketing industry, who I follow, and their, mantra is, serve the world unselfishly and prosper.
Yeah.
And I think that's such a great mantra to follow. Mm. You know, if you do put positive things out into the world, I'm a real believer that
you don't expect anything back either. But I think it shows the community that you care. And if you care, hopefully they might knock on the door and go, well, this is a great place to be. These people actually care about us.
Yeah.
It's not just a sales pitch. It's real.
It's true. Yeah, exactly. Mm. And so let's talk a little bit about the community, because what you guys have built and continue to build is quite unique. It's not just a village. There's so much more to it than that, especially here at Solaris.
Mm-hmm.
And there does still seem to be, within a particular demographic, I guess, a bit of a stigma about moving into aged care or retirement village. What is it, and feel free to talk about the facilities as well, that's different here to what we would typically expect to find.
See, it's an interesting one in that, you know, we quite often have open days, and that's where your opportunity is to meet people who have never been introduced to a retirement village before.
Mm.
And a lot of them come with a preconceived idea of what a retirement village looks like, and that quite often is... it's a nursing home.
Yeah.
And it's
that's
quite...
That's still the word that gets thrown
that's
around.
That's right.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's... I think that is... open days are probably one of those days where I get the most out of, is because I get to see people see Evermore for the first time and have an understanding what it actually is.
Yeah.
And to show them through the building and show them the facilities throughout the building. And they've just gone, I didn't even know this existed. They didn't know this concept was even on earth. That, you know, they don't, and it's not saying we're the only one that have it available, but they just presumed that you're moving into a retirement village, it's going to be an aged care facility.
It's and one they, step towards that.
Yeah.
But it's not at all.
No.
It's not at all.
No.
It's, I was here and we had quite a long chat here when you had the progress meeting, and I was just blown away. I'm like, can I move in here?
Yes.
Like, this is...
And that's what all the children right of here, the parents that are moving in are like, okay, so how old do I have to be?
Which is completely true. It's, you know, when they walk in and they see the lounge bar and they've gone, oh, that's not what I expected at all. And that is the general consensus, because it normally is the kids bringing the parents in, and the kids are the ones who are sort of sitting there going, actually, I could live here, I'd be quite happy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's introducing people into the retirement village is the best part of the job, and seeing their reaction to it.
Yeah, it's like it's a retirement living community, really,
that's right.
Isn't it?
Mm. Yes. Yep.
It's so much more than that. Yeah.
And they can be as involved in that community as much or as little as they like, and they've got so many opportunities to become involved with committees and different clubs. I mean, I think we've got something like
26
clubs within the Evermore, from knitting to bridge to,
bingo and choir and mahjong.
But they're all resident run, so we don't run those for them. It's all resident run, and it just gives them that belonging and have those opportunities to connect.
Yeah.
Connection's so important, isn't it?
Yes.
Because I think as people kind of age in residence, which is obviously a big focus and rightly so, but they can become a little bit socially isolated in some cases. So I guess having those resident groups just, as you say, helps create that extra connection.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. And that's what they say when with the ageing population, it's those connections that really keep them, their brains and their bodies moving, to want to keep going. And you lose those connections, then you are left alone. Yeah.
And I guess some of the people who are moving into the village and becoming part of those groups, they've got great stories to tell, haven't they? They've got so much life experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so do you have conversations with some of those people, and kind of think, wow, you've got such a great story to tell. Can you sort of share an example without naming anybody?
It happens quite often where, and actually I'll share one with you, and it was just that connection where I'm from Sydney, I've lived here for 20 odd years. Down in Sydney, you don't know anyone because Sydney's enormous. You only know your neighbours and you just get lost. Whereas up here, you get to know people and you walk down the street and you know everyone. Anyway, I had a resident move in, and a couple of years ago, my father passed away. And this one resident, he said to me, he goes, oh, I saw your photo on the wall and I noticed your last name. And he said, when he was a little boy, and this person, by the way, is 93.
Right.
He said, when I was a little boy, he goes, my little brother was friends with the kid next door and he had the same last name as you. And I went, oh, really? I said, well, it's not a common name, but it's not uncommon at the same time.
Mm.
And he said, we lived in this street. And I said, look, I'll be honest, I don't know where my dad lived. I said, I'll ring my mum and ask her.
Yeah.
So I rang my mum and said, look, I've got this resident here, and they said that, and she said to me, oh, what was the name of the street? And I said, this is the name. And she goes, yeah, that's where he lived. And I said, oh, the person's name is Glenn, and the little brother's name, and I can't remember what it was now, she goes, yeah, that was his best mate in prime, like they were about 6 or 7.
Yeah, wow.
And he's going, and he goes, yeah, I remember your dad. And I couldn't believe it. 93 years old, and he remembers living next to him in Sydney. Yeah.
Unreal, isn't it? And it's those stories that connect us.
That's
that,
right.
That's really the juice in life, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe, Nova, you might want to take this one.
Mm-hmm.
It is such, I guess, a big part of our economy is the aged care sector, but there's always discussions around healthcare services and do we have enough and do we need more? What do you think we do well, not just in terms of care, but in terms of, activities and resources for our aging population? What do you think we do well here, and where do you think there's room for improvement?
What I think we do well is, I guess, the facilities we do have. I mean, this library we're in at the moment, I think, is, and this sort of community spaces are fantastic. And I think a lot of them don't even know that these spaces are here.
Mm-hmm.
When we've had them come to do the Solaris, meet and greets and things, they're like, half of them didn't even know the library was here, yet they're going to be possibly moving into the building next door. So I think it's having areas where people can connect. I mean, we have such amazing, food area, food places and cafes and all those sorts of things, but having those spaces where they can come and have those connections is huge. But I also think there is, and they're building more of that, those health facilities as well. So we'll be doing a gym and allied health business in the Solaris building. We'll also have a full day surgery. So, you know, all those sorts of allied health and doctors will be amazing for this hub of the area.
Yeah.
So, I mean, always crying out for more allied health, trying to get someone in to see an OT can be up to sort of 3 to 4 months. So hopefully with our new space that those wait times can be a lot smaller. But that sort of physiotherapy and anything like that is really needed and would be amazing to see more of in the area.
Mm, yeah, definitely. And I think you mentioned some of the facilities that are being included in the Solaris development. And I think that's what kind of blew me away when I was here for the update meeting recently, is just how much is being poured into this.
Yes.
And those facilities will be available to the wider public as well.
Yes.
It's not just for residents.
No. So we'll have like a state-of-the-art beautician and all your sort of laser injectables and all those sorts of things. So then from there you go to, the GP will be there, I said, the day surgery. You can go to I think it's going to be over 60s gym with allied health attached.
Yeah.
And you've got the
IGA with cafe
is going to be amazing. Like Foster's been waiting for that for years. So
it certainly has.
That's going to be, it'll just be another extension of the main street, It'll be an area where, people will be drawn to.
Yeah, and it's brilliant. And for anybody who hasn't actually popped in and had a look here at the library, at the Tourist Information Centre, at what's being built there with Solaris. Mm-hmm. If you're out there listening, pop in and have a look.
Mm-hmm.
It's just incredible. You'll be blown away.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get back to talking about you guys working together for a minute. Is there much crossover in your roles? Do you have a lot sort of...
Yes.
Their heads are nodding.
But in a good way, we're lucky we've worked together in the past. So we've always had a really good working relationship, and I think we work well together and feed off each other. So if there's any issues in the village that needs care help, or vice versa. So he may be a point of call with talking to a resident about their care needs only because he's been there to look at their television and may notice something, and then he feeds that back to me. So it's a really nice sort of communication, the way we work.
So Nove gets introduced to a lot of the residents because they get to the point where they need care. They need it, they're introduced to it. And we try and be proactive with the residents in trying to introduce the care team to them all and try and get them into the system. The hardest part is for them to acknowledge that they're going to need help at some stage, and they're always reluctant to actually put their hand up and say, okay, it's time for me to get a bit of assistance. But once you decide that, there's a long wait before it actually gets into effect.
It can be up to 24 months before you actually even receive your package funding. Yeah. So, to start the process, we need to be proactive and getting them in the system early because with those long wait times, with the funding coming through, you may be approved for your support at home package, but it could be 6, 9, 18 months away. So it's a really long time, and then your needs have probably changed by the time you actually receive the funding. So, the sooner they can get into the system, the better it is.
Yeah,
we've definitely seen that at home with both of our parents, and the fact that their needs did change, and also there's, as you mentioned, Anthony, there's that the need to accept that you need help.
Absolutely.
My dad was probably the worst one.
Oh no, my dad would have beat your dad, I'm sure.
In being assessed, was trying to prove how capable he was, as opposed to accepting that you know, I really do need the help. And by the time that came through, it was completely inadequate for
him. Yeah, absolutely.
So you guys would see that.
Yeah, look, my dad never got any. And he always depended on mum right up to the end. And it was one of those ones where mum was capable of helping, but it was getting too much for her towards the end. And he wouldn't let anyone else shower him or take him to the bathroom. And he passed quite quickly, which was a good thing for him. And I don't know how long mum would have been able to cope for in that situation. And it's hard to put your partner in that situation where they have to put their hand up and say, I can't cope anymore.
Yeah.
And if they do, it's too late then too, because it takes so long.
And they don't want to do it. There's such guilt attached.
That's right.
Yeah, and this is a point of difference in what we offer at Evermore opposed to a lot of other setups. Is a lot of these retirement villages don't have the care side within the village. Now, the beauty behind that is, the main reason my dad struggled to want to get care was he didn't want to let a stranger into the house.
Yeah,
he just hated that thought of someone he didn't know coming in. The beauty of having care within the building is these residents who have been there 5, 6, 7 years,
they already know
all the staff. Mm. Yeah. We run events and we involve the staff in the events to create the relationships so that when they're ready and need the care, they already know them. And they will see them come to the door. Oh, thank God it's you. I know you. I'll let you in the house.
Yeah.
But when it's a complete stranger, they're very reluctant to let that happen.
And I think there's, you know, one of the keys from what I've seen to people, you know, feeling like this is home and being comfortable is for them to be able to make the decision themselves to move into a village first, a retirement village first, as opposed to waiting until there's a medical episode that forces them into it, and then they'll never really accept that needed to.
And a lot of the time,
they don't even get to make the decision to go into a retirement village because they've already had the accident at home, and they've gone into care. Yeah. So to come in early enough to make all those decisions and be able to have that care in the home early, it makes it so much easier in the long run. And, I mean, we're lucky at Evermore because if they do end up getting to a point where they can't be in their home independent, we do have the what we call the ECU, which is the Evermore Care Suites, and we have a 12-suite area, which is fantastic. So say the husband needs that full-time care and the wife can stay at Evermore and they can be visited in the ECU, which is just lovely.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, those residents that go into the high care unit, they're still part of the Evermore community. Mm. We run events, whether it be Friday night raffles or Joker draws or Melbourne Cup luncheons, they still come out and participate. They go on the bus trips and they get out of the building and they're able to be part of the community still and not locked away in a nursing home somewhere. So they're still part of the Evermore family. And sometimes we've had residents within the high care unit where the residents will go in there, take them out, take them down to the lounge on a Saturday and watch the football game and then take them back up there.
It's a real family, isn't
it? Yeah. It is. It is a real family. And it's one of those things where you've got to be in Evermore before something goes wrong because you want to become part of the community. You want to, you know, make those friends and be involved in things. So when something does go wrong, you've got the whole building supporting.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you've built those connections. And you've built those friends.
Yes.
So if what would you say to somebody who's kind of on the fence and thinking, I don't really want to move out of my home, you know, I don't want to sell the kids' inheritance, but I'm feeling like, you know, I'm not quite managing. What would you say?
And that's the thing. I've had them where they've come in as a couple to have a look, and it's generally the wife saying, let's go have a look at this, and the husband's going, no, I'm not ready. and I've seen them where, no, I don't think he is ready.
Yeah.
And I've sort of said it to him that day where you go, maybe, that's the day.
That's the day. Mm.
That's the day when you think that in your mind, maybe, then I think it's time to really start looking into it and get in there. You don't want the decision to be made for you, and you don't want the decision to be forced, as in something goes wrong and that's what's gotten there in the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to do it on your own terms.
Yeah.
Okay. So back to working together for a sec.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like it can't possibly be this amicable. There's got to be some dirt. What are the challenges in working together. I work with my beautiful wife, and it's 99% of the time it's great, but there's always a bit.
And look, we don't always see eye to eye, and that's, and we'll try and get a third person involved in that way to adjudicate, and which I actually did that earlier.
Now we have a HR manager at Cloud Asia. I used to say, go talk to HR, and I'm like, I am a HR.
So good luck with that.
So it's, and I've, but look, we're never too far apart in agreeing, and it generally comes down to those finer details. And look, nine times out of ten, she's right, but you know, it's hard.
That's
to
on work. The record now.
We're cutting that bit out, aren't we?
No, look, unfortunately, it is a bit sickening that we do actually agree on most things, and it does work really well. And I think we've proven that it does. And I think all the residents would say that we are a good team. And I know our team, as in our management team, appreciate the way we work together and the way we communicate, and we just work as a whole at Envermore really well.
That's sickening to hear.
I know.
It's fabulous. It's terrific for you guys that you have that working relationship, and for the residents that you can work so effectively together as well. All right, so as we kind of come towards the end of our little convo, let's chat a little bit about outside of work again, and the beautiful part of the world that we live in. What's a relaxing, bit of R&R for you guys when you're not at work and when you're not doing 4:30 a.m. football starts?
Well, look,
you like surfing?
Yeah, look, for me, it'd be a great wake up in the morning, go for a surf. It's come home, have a cup of coffee, relax around the house. It's all about just enjoying Foster, getting out and about.
Yeah.
We love going out for coffee or lunch Mason has soccer, we'll go to soccer, and if it's out at Gloucester, we'll be grabbing a cake and a coffee somewhere out there and enjoying that area. We went to Wingham last week for soccer and then, stopped in and had lunch at Benton Food, that's called. So we always take those opportunities out and about to try somewhere new. It's just about looking at the weather and seeing what's on, but definitely the beaches are where we end up. Often during summer I'm down the beach with on patrol or and then Anthony does quite a lot of fire calls, which he's on call 24 hours a day, all the fire calls that come in there, or on standby out at another
part of town. So it's one of those things where we are very home bodies. We like to be at home. We like to have the house nice. We have, the pool table, the ping pong table, the swimming pool. So we set up the home that
This is at home.
It's not far different from Evermore.
It's not much different, actually.
No. There's about as much confusion in there. But
our kids are very homebodies too. Yeah, we're always cooking or,
My son is involved in the surf club as well, and so did my daughter. She did surf club, but he's done his SRC and does patrols with Nova as well. And, he goes out on his bike and maybe do a bit of fishing. But, Foster's one of those places where, even when family and friends come up, they go, it's amazing. In Foster, as a small town, you still have everything you need, like you would in a city to a degree, that if you want to go and do something, there's something you can do.
Yeah.
We don't really miss out on that much. Maybe we don't have the nightlife or the harbour or something like that, but we have a lot considering
how. We do. All right, let's get a couple of hot tips from you guys then. Favourite spot for a quick coffee?
Favourite spot at the moment, probably Tarte.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, we love a tart coffee or beach bums.
Yeah, always good.
Always beach bums.
Or if I'm just driving to work and I need a coffee and I'm driving down Cullowhee Drive, I'll go to Drum Roll and grab one from there. So they all make a good coffee.
Yeah, there's so many good options.
Oh, there's too many good options.
what about a spot for a nice dinner for two?
Oh, there's a lot of
options. We love Anatolia.
Yeah. And
oh, well, how good
yeah. We love it. Yeah.
The mixed meat platter. Oh.
It's a
diet. Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's fantastic. But that's the beauty of Foster. There are a lot of areas, little restaurants that do a fantastic job, whether it's Spice Monkey, Dragon's Den, Anatolia, Sicilian, Toscano's. You've got a lot to choose
We're
from.
Spoiled.
You've got to try them all.
Oh,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
and then have a gelato afterwards.
Oh,
oh
I know.
Or a frozen yogurt. Choose
yeah. Okay. Somewhere for a quick lunch?
Lunch is probably Beach Bums again. Yeah. We'll probably head to Beach Bums, but I would really want to try. We love Bali, so I can't tell you how many times we've been to Bali. Mm-hmm. It's probably shouldn't tell you how many times. But what's it called on
Duo?
Duo is a
little cafe down
at down on Kallaroo Drive. We went there for Mother's Day breakfast, and they have a full Indonesian menu.
Oh, fabulous!
So I'm hanging out to go there for lunch.
Great little secret spot.
Yes. Yeah. So I've heard fantastic reviews. We just haven't had a chance to get there yet. So yeah, that's our next spot to go for sure.
Okay, great. And lastly, somewhere for a nice, quiet, out of town bushwalk.
Bushwalk.
Well, we went to the Barrington Tops, that was
so good. Yeah, Barrington Tops. Yep.
Yeah,
love it.
It was
there.
Great up there. We had a really nice time, actually.
Yep. Yeah, we had a 3-day weekend and stayed out there, which I've always wanted to do. I think it was last winter we did that.
Yeah, that was
and,
right.
And, yeah, it was fantastic. Went for a few bushwalks and, yeah, it was beautiful.
Terrific. Well, guys, thank you. I appreciate your time and sharing a little bit of your story with us. Gang out there in audio land, if you're interested in finding out a little bit more about Evermore and Solaris, we'll make sure the links are in the show notes. Anthony, Nova, thank you for spending a bit of time with us on Convos.
Thanks,
our pleasure.
Simon.
Thank you.
Thanks.